mornings. I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, a little motivation as we exit the lazy days of summer and head into a new season. Lessons in building a better business or just building the best you. From the book and podcast, Let Me Save You 25 Years. Also this morning, the Hancock Historical Museum has a busy month ahead. We'll get all the details on September events. Sarah Foltz will be here to tell us what's happening. And happening around town, the Bluffton Area Chamber of Commerce is celebrating the best of local artisans and crafters during the community's upcoming fall festival later this month. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Wednesday, September 4th, 2024. It's been a few days over the Labor Day weekend in Tennessee. It was in the Norris Lake area. So it was eastern Tennessee, just north of Gatlinburg, if you're not familiar. First time that I've been there, but it was actually my youngest son's bachelor party. And for some reason, he wanted me to go along. He said he wanted me to go along, and I figured it was probably because they needed a designated driver. And that was the only reason that I could figure he'd want, you know, an old guy along. But I went, and he also invited his soon-to-be father-in-law. And so I'm figuring, well, if the future father-in-law is coming along, then clearly this is not going to be an out-of-control party. Because they ain't married yet. And the last thing you want is to come back from the bachelor party and have her dad say, there is no way you're marrying this guy. You know what I mean? He can put the nicks on the whole thing before it even starts. So I figured this is not going to go out of control. What I found is that what I discovered was that his future father-in-law is nearly as crazy as that the whole group of guys. So it was pretty wild. And I think we all agreed on Monday, which was the day we left. I took yesterday off because I knew that I would need a day to recover. But we all agreed when we left on Monday that had the party lasted one more day, somebody probably would have died. we tried our best, but we figured it's probably best that this thing just ends right now. So honestly, I don't know that they'll ever want us back. Matter of fact, we may be banned from the entire state of Tennessee. At this point, we may not even be allowed to drive through the state of Tennessee. Or if we're on a plane, we may have to divert so that we don't fly over the state of Tennessee. That's so it was quite the weekend and an extra day to recover, and back we are. But it was fabulous, and we had a really good time. Hope you did too, and hope your Labor Day weekend was all nice and healthy and happy and rest and relaxation. You had more relaxation than I did, and back at it again on this midweek Wednesday. Short week here this week. So, did you hear the Cleveland Browns? NFL season starts this weekend. The Cleveland Browns have announced a 20-year, I thought this was really interesting, a 20-year agreement for naming rights, Cleveland Browns Stadium, with Huntington Bank. So it's now going to be known as Huntington Bank Field. It's a 20-year naming rights deal, and the Browns are already trying to leave the stadium. You sign a 20-year naming rights deal for a stadium that you're already trying to leave. I'm not sure what they're talking about, building a new stadium. A dome stadium out in the outside of the city instead of downtown. So that's just weird to me that you're going to sign a 20-year naming rights agreement. You could find someone who would agree to that. But here we are. Browns open their season against the Cowboys at the new Huntington Bank Field, as it will be called, at least until they leave. Let's see what else is going on. Among the first things you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Speaking of sports and the Labor Day weekend, did you remember back the 4th of July weekend when Joey Chestnut was booted out of the Nathan's hot dog eating contest? And we said that he was going to instead take part in a big Labor Day weekend contest. Well, Joey Chestnut did claim victory in the unfinished beef hot dog eating contest sponsored by Netflix over the Labor Day weekend. Competition ended with Mr. Chestnut beating his nearest competitor, Takiro Kobayashi from Japan. It was the first time in 15 years that those two rivals had actually faced off in an event. And Joey Chestnut chowed down 83 hot dogs in 10 minutes. Kobayashi was only able to get down 66 of them. So it was a blowout win. I mean, it was almost as big a win as Ohio State over Akron. And he beat his own record, Joey Chestnut did, of 76 dogs in 10 minutes. So it was a new personal best and walked away with a $100,000 grand prize. So congratulations to Joey Chestnut. Just wanted to follow up in case you hadn't heard about the Joey Chestnut hot dog eating contest on the Labor Day weekend. Meanwhile, the U.S. Open tennis tournament continues, and a lot of the top names are out. Carlos Alcaraz is out. Coco Gauff, I guess, is out. A lot of the big names are Novak Djokovic is out. So a lot of the big names have been eliminated from the competition already. The big winner, though, is not the biggest winner, is not any of the competitors on the court. It is the Honey Deuce cocktail. Sales of the signature drink of the U.S. Open have racked up $10 million, which is more than the purse of prize money that's paid to the winner, to the champions of the event. I think the men's and women's champions get a combined $7.2 million, and they have sold more. If you ever wonder how in the world can they afford to pay that, well, because they're selling $10 million worth of the Honey Deuce cocktail. And this has become a real trendy thing, apparently. Even Serena Williams has been spotted sipping the cocktail at the tournament this year. It goes for $23, this cocktail does. And if you want to create it at home, where it will cost you significantly less than $23. So if you're watching the U.S. tennis tournament, U.S. Open tennis tournament, and you want to get the full experience, you can create your own Honey Deuce cocktail. It is made with Grey Goose vodka, lemonade, raspberry liqueur, and honeydew melon balls. Scoop the honeydew melon out in little ball shapes that look like tennis balls, and then they go in the drink. And that's the big kicker, and that's why it is such a big deal at the U.S. Open. It sounds delicious. I may have to try that. And a couple of other items here among the first things that you need to know. This is a good post-Labor Day story, a holiday where we celebrate workers. According to the annual compilation of best states to work, this is done by Oxfam every year, the Best States to Work Index, Washington, D.C. is the best state to be a worker. Now, I know technically D.C. is not a state, but for the purposes of the index, Washington, D.C. is lumped in with all of the 50 states and Puerto Rico. So there are actually 52 positions on the Best States to Work Index. They look at 27 work-related issues, including how well workers are protected in their jobs, wage policies, rights to unionize, etc., etc., etc. In Washington, D.C. is number one. California takes the second spot, followed by Oregon, New York, and Washington State. Conversely, the worst states for workers are North Carolina at the very bottom, Mississippi just above that, Georgia, Alabama, and South Carolina. Those are the bottom five in reverse order. Ohio, in case you're wondering, comes in at number 22, so about middle of the pack. The good news is that Ohio is significantly higher on the list than any of our surrounding states. Michigan is 31st, Pennsylvania 32nd, Indiana 33rd, West Virginia 34th, and Kentucky all the way down at number 43. So Ohio 22, not great, but significantly better than all of the states surrounding Ohio. So the best states to be a worker list is out. And lastly, among the first things you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, are you a procrastinator? You had this big, long holiday weekend that we're just coming out of, and did you actually get anything done? Or did you just procrastinate and be lazy? 71% of Americans in a new survey say that they are guilty of procrastinating. Half of us say we put off the things on our to-do list by watching TV. 39% say they just lay in bed. 29% would rather take a nap than tackle their to-do list. 42% procrastinate by aimlessly scrolling through social media. So the experts say tackling your to-do list is not always the most exciting part of the day, and with so many distractions, it is very easy to procrastinate. The good news is that something as simple as an energy-boosting snack or your favorite playlist on your music device can improve your mood and your motivation, which I'm sure is true. I was going to test that theory, but, you know, I put it off and never got around to it. There you go, some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Wednesday morning started here.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Sunny skies expected today, a high in the mid-80s, mostly clear tonight, a low in the middle 50s. The Hancock County Sheriff's Office is investigating a fatal crash that happened south of Macomb at the intersection of State Route 235 and County Road 96. The Sheriff's Office says a 30-year-old from Findlay was eastbound on County Road 96 when he ran the stop sign at 235 and struck a vehicle that was northbound on 235 being operated by a 45-year-old from Macomb. Both vehicles overturned and came to rest in the field. The 45-year-old from Macomb was ejected from his vehicle, and he was pronounced dead at Blanchard Valley Hospital. The other driver suffered minor injuries, according to the Sheriff's Office. The crash remains under investigation. Scam texts have led the Ohio Turnpike to suspend unpaid fees.
The Ohio Turnpike has announced that it's suspending all late fees and collection attempts for customers who receive invoices and Ohio BMV registration holds. The Turnpike also warns of continued scams where unsuspecting customers receive text messages asking for payment of late fees. The Turnpike never asks customers to pay by text.
ONN's Clay Gordon reporting. A big box retailer has its eyes on the location of the Findlay Village Mall. On the agenda for the September 12 meeting of the Findlay City Planning Commission is an application for a new 131,000 square foot big box retail store at the location of the mall. The application the City Planning Commission received did not include the name of the big box retailer. You can see the agenda for the September 12 meeting of the Findlay City Planning Commission in this story on our website. NAMI of Hancock County, in collaboration with the Hancock Park District, has created a mindfulness path at Riverbend Recreation Area. People are encouraged to take a walk around the 1.2-mile loop trail at Riverbend and find mindfulness posters with meditations, breathing exercises, and more. One of the mindfulness posters says, "Find joy in being grateful. Gratitude doesn't have to be saved for just the big things." Get more on this new mindfulness path at Riverbend in the story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online at WFIN.com.
So you have heard of Lovesac, right? You've probably seen it on TV, the sectional sofa that you can kind of mix and match and piece together and rearrange in any configuration you want. I kind of think about it like a Lego set with your furniture. It's It's not cheap, but it is one of the trendiest things in home furnishings today. And this morning, we are speaking with the founder and CEO of Lovesac, Sean Nelson, not about his company necessarily, but about the story of his company. Sean, talk a little bit about your entrepreneurial journey that led you to where you are today.
Yeah, it's all captured in my book that came out just a few months ago, Let Me Save You 25 Years, because Lovesac has the craziest, most unlikely and exciting story, I think, in business. It's been such a fun ride. Company I started as a side hustle in my college days, living in my parents' basement, cutting out foam and fabric to make 8-foot beanbags. And here we are today, you know, at 300 locations and pushing toward $1 billion in sales, and really proud of what we built from, you know, an unlikely beginning.
Yeah. So you have turned that experience, as you said, into a book and also a podcast called Let Me Save You 25 Years. Talk about the inspiration for this and, you know, sharing that with the world as you do.
Yeah, look, I think anyone who builds something big and goes through, you know, every kind of hard time up and down has all kinds of lessons they learn. So the yeah. subtitle of the book, Mistakes, Miracles, and Lessons from the Lovesac Story, you know, some examples from you know, starting out making these things by hand to opening our first location in 2001, having been rejected by every mall around, you know, what's Lovesac? What are you guys going to sell? Finally let in, just don't make us look bad. To today, you know, there's just been a lot of lessons learned, and I've tried to put them in this, you know, consolidate them to this book where it can be useful to people who are looking to build things of their own.
I love that. You actually heard that. Okay, fine. Just don't make us look bad.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that was, you know, that was a mild one. I mean, the only reason we opened a store is because none of the furniture stores wanted to sell our stuff. And so we were forced to open our own. And, you know, we're grateful for that nudge.
So what is amazing about this and what's really cool, especially about the podcast, is that, you know, any entrepreneur can relate on some level to a lot of the stories and the early struggles and so on. But what you find in talking with individuals such as yourself who struggled to begin with and then made it really, really big is that your story is not necessarily unique. And in the podcast, you speak with a lot of individuals who have similar types of stories.
Oh, yeah. On Let Me Save You 25 Years, the podcast, Sarah Blakely, you know, billionaire entrepreneur, Coach Urban Meyer, Rob Gronk, Gronkowski, John Mackey, founder of Whole Foods. You know, so people from Hollywood, people from business, we all learn the same things if we stay hustling long enough. And so what's fun is, like, instead of a typical interview podcast, I go deep on one of these 25 Seanisms that we outline in the book. You know, phrases like there is always a way, grit is half the game, make your own luck. And we explore these topics one at a time with very successful people. And it could go on for an hour, 2 hours. We go really deep and I get new content out of them that you wouldn't hear on a typical interview with any of these people because it's so focused. And it's been really useful for me. What a blessing in my own life to learn from such amazing people.
It also strikes me that this is a way to sort of put some meat on the bone in the sense that, I mean, some of the catchphrases that you're talking about almost sound like cliches, but you have the opportunity mm-hmm. to sort of expand and, like I said, put some meat on the bone and explain how relevant they actually are.
Yeah, I think what's unique about the book, for instance, is the whole Lovesac story, right? And you could read the whole thing in 90 minutes, but each chapter is essentially a chapter of the story. So a story within the story,
yeah,
things that really happened to me, and then parlayed into each one of these lessons. And then on the podcast, we go even deeper and we really talk about how to do these things, how to make them happen, how to live out these cliches, because these cliches, as you say, are lessons we all learn mm-hmm. if we're willing to, you know, put ourselves through the crucible of building something.
Yeah, because I hear you rattling some of those off, and I can see people kind of rolling their eyes. Oh yeah, I heard that before. But you know, this is more than just, you know, pablum here. It's you know, there is some substance here. And you talk about the fact that this can be incredibly useful, not only for current entrepreneurs, but also future entrepreneurs.
Yeah. You know, I wrote this book for anyone thinking about anything big. You know, if anyone with ambition to do anything, it doesn't have to be an entrepreneur.
Oh, good point.
But
yeah.
It's like this. And the title of the book, you know, and the podcast, Let Me Save You 25 Years, the spirit is this. Look, I could have, I think, if I'm being honest, brought Lovesac to the place it's at, growing like crazy, pushing a billion in sales in half the time, if I had learned some of these lessons, not just the hard way. You know, there, you can learn from others' mistakes. You can be humble enough to be teachable and save yourself a lot of heartache. You'll still have your own heartache. You'll still have your own problems. But that's the spirit this book is written in. And I tried to be really honest with my mistakes and lessons. And you don't find that in every kind of, you know, self-help, life motivation business book out there.
Yeah. Again, speaking with the founder and CEO of Lovesac, Sean Nelson, about his book and his podcast, Let Me Save You 25 Years. First of all, where do folks find the book?
Yeah, you can buy Let Me Save You 25 Years, Amazon, Lovesac.com, my own website, SeanDNelson.com. It's available all places you buy books, and the podcast as well, Apple Pods, Spotify, take your pick. I love podcasts myself, so just trying to give back. You know, there's no advertising. I'm meeting with, you know, coming up on season two, I've got Mark Cuban, Gary Vaynerchuk, you know, some big names everyone will recognize. And again, we go deep with these people on one topic, get really, really cool content you won't find anywhere else.
We'll put a link up on our webpage for more information about both the book and the podcast, too. So folks can check that out. Really worth checking out. Sean Nelson with us this morning. Sean, thanks very much for taking the time. Certainly continued success.
Thanks for having me.
Sarah Foltz is here from the Hancock Historical Museum. We were just talking about Labor Day weekend and the big holiday weekend. Got a little rest and relaxation before going everything into breaks loose for the month of September here.
All of the things in September. We're excited for it, though.
It is a very busy month. So let's kind of go chronologically here. You've got the Brown Bag Lunch Lecture coming up tomorrow. This is an interesting topic.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this. This is tomorrow at noon, so Thursday at noon. We have Heather Schalk. She is the manager of volunteer services at Blanchard Valley Health System. And now that we are coming up on the 75th anniversary of the Blanchard Valley Health System's auxiliary, she's going to take us on a tour of the history of that program and how that has impacted our health system.
It really is interesting, all of the ways that volunteers make the hospital run. I mean,
yes. And to think that this really started with 12 women who wanted to help and raise funds for the hospital, and they really had to gain trust with the staff. And here we are 75 years later with hundreds of volunteers. And I'm really excited to hear just that nostalgia and what that has meant to our community.
From the era of the candy stripers to the modern day, when the volunteers are still very much an integral part of the local health system. Very
exactly.
Cool. So that is noon. Tomorrow, right?
Yep, and that is free for museum members, regular museum admission for non-members. We'd love to have you.
Okay, now the next event up is coming this weekend. It is the Historic Barn Tour.
Yes, this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. So it's a perfect day out for the whole family. Tour historic barns in the southern part of Hancock County. This is a biennial event, so it will not be back for another couple years. So it's a perfect opportunity to tour some of the oldest structures in our community and learn the history behind, you know, some of the first structures to ever exist in Hancock County.
Right, and all of the history that goes along. We've talked about the barn tour before in the sense that so often we have so many barns. In Hancock County, that so often you're driving along and you just drive past them and you don't even give them a second thought.
Exactly.
Unless they're like falling down. There are some that, you know, sadly are in that kind of condition, but so many more that have been preserved, and they tell their own history, their own stories.
You're exactly right. I couldn't have said it better. Each one has their own unique story. Mm-hmm. And we are just so proud to be able to feature these. These families take so much pride. They put so much labor. It's really a labor of love into these structures. And we do have an impressive number of barns that are well preserved in our area. So we take this opportunity to highlight them, and then we pair it with a bunch of fun things along the way too for this event.
And you've got like music and food and all kinds of things.
Yeah. So there's six stops on the tour. You can go in any order. You can start at any of the barns and then browse through the different demonstrations. There will be some art displays, farmers market vendors, like you said, live music and food. We have a craft beer tasting and a root beer tasting as well, a kids activity area. So there's really something for the whole family.
And if you have ever kind of taken them for granted and thinking, so what's the big deal about these barns? Go on the tour and you'll find out.
Exactly.
You can get tickets the day of, or you can buy them in advance, right?
Yeah, you save a few bucks if you get them ahead of time, either at the museum or online. It's $10 for adults, ages 17 and up.
Okay.
Ages 16 and under are free, no ticket required.
So a great family event.
Exactly. And then on the day of the event, if you are a procrastinator, like I tend to be sometimes, you can stop at any of the barns and get in. It is $15 for non-members, $10 for museum members.
All right, very good. And that is coming up on Saturday. And then on the way next Sunday, you have an open house at the Little Red Schoolhouse.
Yes, we are so excited. This is our one-room schoolhouse is something that is utilized mostly for our area school children. They get to experience a day in class in the 19th century.
Yeah.
But if you are visiting Brooklocker Park, the Little Red Schoolhouse is usually closed and available appointment only. So this is a perfect opportunity. If you've always driven by and wondered, what does it look like in there? It is so cool. This is an awesome opportunity for, again, all ages, completely free to attend. Come see inside. We'll have some of our volunteers there to show you around, and it's just going to be a great day.
I know when my son did this, when he was in grade school, really look forward to the day when they all kind of dressed up as they would have, back in the pioneer days, and takes the sack lunch and, whole nine yards. And it really is like stepping back in time.
It really, truly is. And when we spend time in there, it's almost an emotional feeling just to really be fully consumed into that space and take you right back and really imagine. This is how we learned.
I will make one suggestion, and I think this is really cool. When you go to the open house, the Little Red Schoolhouse, you're going to take lots of pictures. Use the sepia setting on your phone.
Yes, I love that suggestion.
Yeah. Because we have those photos with our kids from their day at the Little Red Schoolhouse many, many years ago. Generations, literally generations, have done this. So, chances are good.
A memorable experience.
Chances are good you have done this yourself. It's a chance to revisit. And then, of course, later in the month, toward the end of the month, September 28th, is Oktoberfest.
Yes.
And that is the big event.
Yes, that is our most vital fundraising event of the year. It is our German Heritage Festival. We take over downtown Findlay, and it runs from 2 to 10:30. It is great. Also, we make sure that this is perfect for the whole family. Huge kids zone, over 20 different activities, live music, dancing, food. And then for our adults, we have a ton of craft beer, German import and domestic beer options, some fun adult contests as well.
What can you say about Oktoberfest? I mean, other than the fact that I find it kind of odd that you do the barn tour and Oktoberfest in the same month. That was
the way the timing works out, and the way we can work with our farmers to be able to highlight these barns. But and then you think Oktoberfest is actually traditionally in September. It's
right.
Just the name of the German festival. So it is a whirlwind of a month, but we're so excited.
Absolutely. Now, with respect to Oktoberfest, you still looking for volunteers?
Yes, this is it's a huge footprint in our community. Even though it's a one-day event, it does take hundreds of volunteers. If you are interested in volunteering, there are a number of ways that you can help out. You can visit oktoberfestfindlay.com. There's a sign up there, or just contact us at the museum. We're happy to help you pair up with something that you would enjoy doing. And then you also get free admission and a t-shirt along with that.
And just to give you an idea of how big this is, it has its own website.
It does.
So, I mean, it's that big of an event. This is the 10th annual. Do people need admission tickets in advance for this?
Nope, you do not. It is a cash-only event. It's just $5 for adults, $3 for kids when they come in. We will be posting out the whole map and the layout so you can kind of make a game plan leading up to that day. We do look forward to bringing in over 6,000 people to downtown Findlay, so it's just a great day for our community. We have to put our best foot forward.
Like you said, it's not just the biggest event this month. It's the biggest event for the museum this year. Yep.
And one of the largest single-day events in our area. We're so proud of that.
And so we're going to talk more about that when we get a little bit closer, but certainly circle the date on your calendar for that is a Saturday, September the 28th. So a big, big month at the Hancock Historical Museum. Again, begins tomorrow with the Brown Bag Lunch Lecture.
Yes. Thank you so much, Chris.
All right. Sarah Foltz with us from the Hancock Historical Museum. We've got a link for more information about all of those events at our webpage at goodmornings.net. Sarah, thanks for dropping by.
Thank you.
Information that makes a difference. Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
So this is a story that I think a lot of people can relate to coming off the Labor Day weekend if you were traveling or if maybe you took a road trip at some point during the summer. Did you ever leave something behind at a gas station bathroom? Have you ever done that? There are plenty of things that you don't want to forget when you stop, you know, to use the facilities, gas station or a rest area or something like that. I mean, you don't want to, and it's easy to do, your phone, your wallet, and if you're a sheriff's deputy, your gun. That's what happened to a deputy in Seminole County, Florida, who had removed his gun belt while using the facilities at a convenience store in there in Seminole County. When he stopped because he had to go. And so, and it does seem rather reasonable that you want to remove your gun belt while you do your business because you don't want anything, you don't want an accident to happen there. Unfortunately, when he put his belt back upon leaving, he later realized that his firearm had fallen out. Meanwhile, two men found the gun sticking out of the toilet paper roll. One of the men who found the firearm was seen on surveillance footage with a noticeable bulge showing on the right side of his waist, according to a press release from the Seminole County Sheriff's Office. As if stealing a gun from a gas station bathroom wasn't a bad enough idea, the two then tried to sell it for $40 online. They found the gun and they tried to sell it online for $40. They are now both facing charges. As for the deputy, he could be subject to a standards review while the department may want to wash their hands of the whole incident, as it were. Oh, man, everybody's in trouble after that one. Elsewhere in the broken news, sometimes you don't have to go very far. Did you hear about the Toledo man who was in court yesterday after being arrested on assault charges over the weekend? Vince Dinkins was arrested on Sunday after a woman told police that he had assaulted her with a thermos. Apparently, he had struck her upside the head with a thermos. She was treated and released from a local hospital. That's just kind of weird. Meanwhile, charges have been filed against a Toledo woman who is accused of breaking into someone's apartment and damaging their television. This is just weird. 48-year-old Sharonda Van broke into an apartment around 2 a.m. yesterday, I guess this happened, and hit the resident's television with a hammer. She broke in specifically to assault the television with a hammer. She has been charged with felony burglary, Although, I don't know. She didn't really burgle anything, really take anything. She just destroyed the TV with a hammer. All right. She must have been bored yesterday, didn't have much to do, so decided to... let's see. Elsewhere in the broken news, California man is in custody after a shooting spree that killed around 100 farm animals. Monterey County Sheriff's deputies responded to reports of multiple gunshots in the Prunedale area around 3:30 Tuesday morning. The suspect, Vicente Arroyo of Salinas, allegedly fired hundreds of shots from multiple weapons over the course of 3 hours, taking down several chickens, birds, rabbits, guinea pigs, goats, ducks, and a miniature horse. What did they do to him? What did those animals ever do to him? Mr. Arroyo was eventually located by a drone in a crashed vehicle and taken into custody. He is charged with a number of crimes, including several counts of cruelty to animals. Wow. There's, you know, some people are animal people, and then others are most definitely not. And this guy is not, I guess. Let's see. And a couple of items from the international file. A family dining in a restaurant in Mexico is now accused of putting roaches on their own plates. Puerto Chale posted the story of the scamming family on social media after the restaurant security cameras caught the mom at the head of the table, apparently the mom, at the head of the table, taking out a container and emptying a roach onto her plate after the family of four had finished their meals. The family then calls over the waiter and pretends to be outraged and refuses to pay for the meal. They leave without paying. The video shows what really happened. It has now gone viral online, and some users have come forward to say that this same family has apparently pulled the same scam in other places in Guadalajara, in the Guadalajara area of Mexico as well. No arrests have been made. That is just, wow, that is crazy. And lastly, among the broken news items today, this is from England, but it sounds like something that would happen in this country. A parking lot built for a local, I guess, office complex that was built, this parking lot, built for at a cost of roughly $66 million. Cannot be used because there is no road connecting it to the street. They finished the construction back in January to this parking garage, I guess. I don't know if it's a garage or just a huge lot. It's like parking for, it's a vast space, about 850 cars. So this is a huge parking lot. And somehow, when construction was finished back in January, nobody noticed that there was no way to access the parking lot from the street. There was no connecting road. Now the project is delayed until more funding is secured. They spent all the money they had to build the parking lot, and nobody thought to build a connecting road. Unfortunately... the lot in Oxfordshire might not be connected to any main roads until 2027, they say. It could be years before they get the chance to use this brand new parking lot. The city council informed residents that once completed, the project would provide 24-hour security, dedicated cycle storage, public toilets, and electric vehicle charging bays. But for now... there's just no way to access it. I know this is England, but it seems like something that really would happen in this country. It just does. Here you go. That is today's Broken News Report. An update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Did you know more than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio for their news, traffic, weather, sports, and a community connection? AM radio is the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping Americans safe in dangerous times. This is News Director Matt Demchek. AM 1330 WFIN is here to serve you, and we take seriously our commitment to our listeners. We would love to hear what you value most about AM radio. Visit WeAreBroadcasters.com and tell us how you depend on AM.
Time now for your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. There is a growing trend, a growing group of individuals who have found it pretty satisfying to eat by themselves in restaurants. Dining alone is a growing trend. According to data from the restaurant reservation website OpenTable, solo dining reservations have risen 29% since 2022. Now, when was the last time you went out to eat by yourself? It's, you know, years ago, it's just something you did not do. Really, I mean, yeah, you go to a bar by yourself, sit at the bar and have a drink, maybe get something to eat at the bar. But generally, you go to a restaurant. We're talking a sit-down restaurant where you go and dine alone. And it was just very, very rare. But solo dining reservations are up 29% in this country since 2022. And it's not just in the United States. Other countries, the UK, Germany, you know, places all across Europe, this is growing. Now, in Japan, this is nothing new. They say there is even a term for it, ohitori-sama. I'm probably pronouncing that right. But even there, 23% now say that they eat by themselves compared to 18% in 2018. So even there, it is a growing trend. The CEO of OpenTable, Debbie Hsu, suggests remote work may have kicked off this movement. She says, I think there is a broader movement of self-love and self-care and enjoying one's own company that is at play here. The societal norms have changed. People don't look at solo diners the way they used to. I mean, you used to see somebody dining alone and think, well, that person is a loner, or maybe they don't have any friends. That's not really the case anymore. Professor of Lodging Management at Penn State University, Anna Matilla, says it's just more acceptable now. In reporting on this trend, Time Magazine cites a 2019 Pew Research Center poll that discovered 38% of U.S. adults between the ages of 25 and 54 were living alone without a partner. 38% of middle-aged adults. That is up from 29% in 1990. So not only are we going out alone, we're living alone more and more. In fact, some restaurants historically will not take a reservation for a single person. But other restaurants are now starting to adapt because this is becoming more common. Drew Brady, chief operating officer at Overthrow Hospitality, a company that operates 11 restaurants in New York, again speaking for the Time Magazine piece, says, while there may be a short-term loss in serving, you know, taking up a whole table to serve just one person, he says, I think we're kind of playing the long game and establishing our restaurants as places that are truly special and welcoming of solo diners. So, I just thought that was really interesting, the number of solo diners and the percentages, the number of increase that we have seen in recent years. And yes, maybe it was triggered by the pandemic where being by yourself and enjoying one's own company is not as frowned upon or eyebrow-raising, not frowned upon necessarily, but not as eyebrow-raising as it once was. Kind of interesting because you remember during the course of the pandemic, we were talking about how will this change our society moving forward? What would be the lasting impacts? Perhaps this is one that was not necessarily anticipated. So, happening around town, or around the area in this case, the Bluffton Area Chamber of Commerce is celebrating the best of local artisans and crafters during the community's upcoming fall festival happening later this month. And Kylie Rutzler is in charge of putting all of this together, this big craft show that'll be happening. And as we said, this is part of the big to-do. The fall festival, I know, is a huge event for the community, right?
Correct. It's all throughout the town. Yep.
And everybody looks forward to that every year. So we add the craft show. This is really cool because this is a juried show. Explain how this works.
The juried show, everybody applies for the to be in the show, and then we go through and they have to submit pictures and things like that. So we do our very, very best to make sure we don't have many duplicates. Like, mm-hmm. it's a and our craft,
so that everybody's not selling
right. Right. So you're not walking in and every booth has the same thing. We're just trying to make sure our customers get a huge selection, a variety. Mm-hmm.
And then are there, so we say a juried show, does that mean that there are awards?
Oh, we are going to give one award away. We're going to have the Bluffton Chamber members go around and judge all the booths and who has the vote, because there are certain things that they have to do in their booths to make it that juried look.
Yeah.
And they'll go around and do some voting, and somebody will end up with a free slot next year.
Very cool.
Which is exciting.
Right? Yeah. Absolutely. And but the main point of this is that you want the best of the best.
Correct. We've gotten people from all over Ohio. Next year, we're really gearing up to try to go a little bit bigger. This is the first time it's in the fall and coordinating with the fall festival. So Bluffton's excited for it to be inside for the 51st year.
So. Okay. So, this is not the first time for the juried arts and craft show, but the first time that it's in conjunction with the fall festival. So that's got to be exciting.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And the town is just excited that it's inside and not in downtown, out in the rain, because it's been raining the last, and in the spring. That was the other thing.
Yeah.
So,
and I would imagine that's really beneficial for a lot of the crafters and artisans too, because you've got a built-in gathering of people already.
Yep.
So they're, I imagine, pretty excited about this.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And a lot of the crafters this year are new to this one, and they're excited just because a lot of crafters avoid those outs. The better crafter, not better. I shouldn't say it like that, but they avoid those outside shows because it could rain, it could storm, it could be windy.
Yeah.
I felt like I used to be a crafter myself, and those are like the things that you try
you
to
kinda hold your breath.
Yeah, it's you like you try to pick and choose if you're going to go outside.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I certainly can understand that, because you know they put a lot of time and effort into creating these.
They're all small business owners, every one of them. So they work very hard behind their craft, and they all take pretty good pride in it and things like that.
Putting their best foot forward in a show like this. So, and I don't want to give it away, and I don't want to, you know, steal the thunder, and there's no way that we can talk about every single crafter, but you've been, and still are accepting applications from vendors, right?
Just a couple. I mean, we have outside spots left. The inside is full.
Okay.
And there's about 50 some plus inside.
So already it's going to be big. What are some of the ones as just kind of an example? And like I said, we can't get them all, so I don't want to shortchange anyone.
No,
but just as an example.
We have clay pottery wreaths. We have some mosaic art stuff coming in. We have watercolor painting. We have somebody that makes pens out of buckeye trees. We have some of the best around, and probably the one big highlight of the show is the swag bags that we open at 9 o'clock.
Yes.
And there's 100 swag bags to give out. They're full of coupons, not just from the crafters inside give coupons like $5 off of certain things. So I would say there's probably a couple $100. But we have a lot of sponsors outside that come from the Bluffton community that's really came behind it and supported it.
And those go to the first 100 folks in the
correct,
line. And the
correct.
Line starts early from what
I did a previous show. My aunt, like when I was a crafter, it was mine that I went through. And we had people there at 5 a.m. in the morning, which is crazy if you think about it. And I've told the chambers, I was like, I'm a little nervous about some things, but I'm definitely excited to see who gets there first.
Well, whether you get the swag bag or not, it is definitely worth coming out for because it just sounds like, and I would imagine as you're putting this together and getting the submissions from the artisans and the crafters, it's kind of fun just to see what kind of stuff people are putting out there. So that's got to be fun.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And we did a lot of recruiting at the very beginning. This is my first year of putting it on. And I went around to a bunch of other craft shows that are around the area, well, even outside of the area, and just recruited. I try to find the best of the best and make sure it's locally made and things like that.
So you're definitely going to want to bring your wallet to this because you're going to find something that you just can't
live
without.
Well, I'm hoping so. That's the whole point.
That's the point. So, let's give all the particulars here. This is happening later. This is September the 28th is the date, right?
I believe 24 days. I've been counting. So.
And this is at Bluffton High School. And 9 to 3
correct.
is the actual time. Yep. But again, for those who want to get their hands on the swag bags, you want to get there a little bit earlier,
correct.
Probably.
Yep.
As you mentioned, there is still, if you know, there's a crafter or an artisan that's hearing this and say, well, this might be something I would be interested in. There are still very limited spots.
Yep, they're all outside. Yeah. And if they message us on our Facebook page, an application will pop up.
Okay.
We do have a few small businesses outside, which our small businesses is like somebody has tea parties. Like they go to people's house. Like, so things that don't have like a storefront are also things we're kind of looking for. Since it is a Chambers event, we're trying to make some small businesses highlighted here.
And that's the bottom line. Again, because it's the Bluffton Area Chamber of Commerce highlighting these.
Correct.
It's really a good point that you make. And sometimes perhaps we don't think about this, or you go to craft shows and that kind of thing, that these are small businesses. Correct. There are a number of people, this is how they make their living.
Yep. And that's, I raised two children on it. So it's a lot of hard work and dedication, and looking at them as small businesses definitely is different than crafters. So
a lot of really creative folks.
Oh yes, yep, yep.
Which is going to be great to see. So save the date on September the 28th for this. We have a link on our webpage for more information about the juried art and craft show, the Bluffton Area Chamber of Commerce, part of the community's upcoming fall festival. And hey, make your plans, just spend the entire day.
We have food trucks down by us, we have the farmer's market going on, I know the Mennonite, it's all over Bluffton, so I'm excited.
It'll be a great time. Again, goodmornings.net to learn more. And Kylie Rutzler with us this morning. Thanks very much for dropping by, giving us a preview. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. Want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. Check us out online at goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, for as long as there have been kids, there has been peer pressure to do things that are unhealthy and even dangerous. For this generation, one of the most serious concerns is about teen vaping, and the problem is growing. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.